Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Let's pray. Lord, we ask you now just to bless the reading of your word this morning. And Lord, as we look into your word and study your word, Lord, we ask you this morning to help us to understand what we read and what we study. And Lord, above all, help us to take it and apply it to our heart and our life, that we may center our life around you and look forward to your coming. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I want you to look back in John 14, verse 1. You see a word there, or excuse me, in verse 2. It says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. How many of your Bibles say that? Amen. If your Bible doesn't say mansions, then there's a garbage can you need to throw it in and go find you one that says mansions. Amen. And you say, preacher, are you being, you know, critical? Yes, I am. Because if they got that one point wrong, they're going to have a lot more wrong. And I promise you, I have a house now. I have a room now. Many of your translations say house. Many of them say room. And some of them even say dwelling. I've got those now. I don't have a mansion. One day, I'm going to have me a mansion. You say, preacher, what's the difference? Big difference. Mansion comes with servants. Amen? I'm going to have somebody cook me breakfast and cook me lunch, cook me supper, and cook me anything I want. I'm going to have somebody do the cleaning for me. And my wife and I are going to sit around and watch them. Amen? You're saying, preacher, you are being funny now. Yes, I'm being facetious now. Amen? I'm just simply pointing out that one day in heaven, we will have mansions. Amen? Mansions. You know, we sing a song, I've got a mansion. Amen? And I can't wait to have mine. This morning we want to preach on heaven sounding sweeter all the time. You know, there's a song wrote many years ago talking about heaven sounding sweeter all the time. I'm going to try to sing it this morning. Don't hold me too bad against it, amen, because preacher don't sing, amen. But I'm going to try, because ever since I've been working on this sermon, I just can't help but want to sing this song. So, Aaron, if you're ready back there. No, leave this one on.
Has been so good, I can't complain. When I'm down, God gives me strength to rise again. I get weary from the struggle of it all. I just listen. Oh, I listen for his call. Heaven sounds sweeter all the time. Seems like lately heaven's always on my mind. Today I'm gonna leave this world behind. Heaven sounding sweeter all the time.
How many agrees with that? Amen.
It's so hard to lose one to the grave, but we have the blessed hope that Jesus gave. God's gonna wipe all the tears from our eyes when we meet in the land beyond the skies. Heaven sounding sweeter all the time. Heaven's always on my mind. Someday I'm gonna leave this world behind. Heaven sounding sweeter all the time. Heaven sounded sweeter all the time.
Amen. Amen. I tell you what, I don't know about you, but I can't wait. I can't wait. This morning I want to take a time and paint a picture for you. And I hope I can create a longing in your heart that makes you want to go too. I can't wait for it to happen. Look with me in the book of Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. We'll go there to get the details.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 1. Says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth was passed away, and there was no more seas." Before we get into the scripture of painting a picture of heaven for you this morning, turn me down just a little bit. I'm ringing. I want to put everything into context. I happened to go over to my little brother's house last night and watch the Cowboys lose. And that seems to be the thing of the day right now, seeing them lose. So anyway, we were sitting there, and halftime he goes, gets his Bible, and he gets this big commentary, and he comes and he sits down and he says, "Okay, I got you where you can't leave. I want to ask you some questions." He had no clue what I was going to be preaching on this morning. I told him, and he says, "Well, I guess the Lord just wanted you over here to answer my questions then." And my nephew was sitting there, and he said, "You know, Uncle John," he said, "how is the line of progression? You know, today a lot of us, we know things are going to happen. We don't follow the line of progression the Bible lays out. The first thing that's going to happen that we're looking forward to happen any day now, hopefully today, amen? And that's the rapture of the church. You say, "Preacher, what's going to happen at the rapture?" The ones that are saved, the blood-bought, the ones that are saved, and know Jesus as their Savior, will rise to meet Him in the air. You say, "Well, what about the people that are lost?" They're going to stay put. They're there. They're there, going to be there for another 1,007 years minimum. They're going to be dead. Lost. And you say, "Well, preacher, what's going to happen then?"
The tribulation is going to start right after the rapture. The Bible talks in the book of Revelation 3.5 years of peace. And then there's going to be 3.5 years of total devastation, trouble. Things are going to be happening on this earth that you'll never have dreamed about happening. And Satan will have full control of this earth. But then, as our Sunday school lesson was about this morning, and as our devotion, the second coming of Christ is going to come. And you say, well, preacher, didn't he come at the rapture? No, he didn't touch foot on the earth. He's going to be coming in the clouds. You remember when Jesus left and departed? He said, the angels told the disciples, one day you'll see him come back just as you've seen him go. How did he go? He went into the clouds. He rose and disappeared out of their sight. Then what's going to happen? Jesus is going to come back, and we that are saved are going to come back with him, riding on white horses. And they're going to put an end called the Battle of Armageddon. By the way, there is a Valley of Armageddon over in northern Israel. A long time ago, a famous general once said, this was big enough for all the armies of the world to meet in and do battle. Lo and behold, one day they will. They're going to be battling Christ. The Bible says the blood's going to run up to the horse's bit. That's pretty deep. By the way, I don't know if you knew this little fact, but over there, the buzzards that we have around here, the vultures, did you know, used to, they only laid one egg. Now they're laying 7 to 10 eggs. Did you also know it's against the law in all that part of the world? In Jordan, in Israel, in Syria, all that place over there, it's against the law to shoot one. Why? Because they're getting ready for a big feast. And it's coming real soon. By the way, that's been going on for about 20 years now. And they're multiplying at a rapid pace. Jesus is going to come back. And when he comes, the world will cease and submit to him. Then we have what we call in the Bible in chapter 20, the marriage supper of the Lamb. The book of Revelation chapter 20. The marriage supper of the Lamb is going to be set up. And Jesus will rule on this world for 1,000-year reign from Jerusalem. You say, well, hold it, preacher. How about the new heaven and the new earth? It's not happened yet. Not happened yet. After 1,000 years of reign, and this is the reason why I say 7 years of tribulation and 1,007 years, I know this world's going to last. This, in spite of what the environmentalists say, I know we're going to last 1,007 years. Why? Because God said it, and I believe what God said. Amen. Then you say, well, preacher, what's going to happen then? After 1,000 years, Satan will be loosed back upon the earth. Many people will be deceived and follow after Satan. That's hard for me to imagine, because they're going to have access to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to be able to go up and walk and talk to him. Walk up and talk to him and touch him. And yet they're going to deny his existence. End of chapter 20, the Bible says that Satan will be bound and thrown into everlasting hell. And all those that follow him from the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And then the Bible says the dead, the lost, those that's been out, buried out here that do not know Jesus, they will rise and be judged and been thrown into hell for an eternity. This is where we're going to be dealing with this morning. Because right after that, the Bible says God's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. All this will be passed away. Everything's going to become new. And we'll get to that in chapter 22 in just a minute. But we're in Revelation chapter 21. And we're looking at heaven because this is what heaven's going to be looking like. Let's look at it again. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Or excuse me, 21. It says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth was passed away, and there were no more seas. You say, preacher, what does this mean? It means there's not going to be any more division among God's people. You say, well, how do you get that out of that? Well, it's not going to be any more seas. What does the sea do? The sea divides the land, does it not? If you look at a globe today, you have North America and South America, and we're divided by two big oceans from Europe and Russia and China, and then Australia is an island of its own, and all surrounded by water. Even our own scientists claim that at one time, our earth, the land was all together in one mass, one piece. All the water was in another place. That's how it's going to go back to being. Why? Because God does not want His children to be divided. There's not going to be anything there to divide His children. Everything's going to be together. Everybody's going to be one. One family. By the way, there's not going to be no more nationalities. Why? Because what does nationality just do? It divides you. We're all going to be like Christ. Are we not? You say, preacher, what color is that going to be? Who knows? But I would dare say, what color was Jesus? Amen? He was a Jew. Jews are called olive color. Who knows? I might have a little tan then. I don't know. But it doesn't matter, because one day we're going to be like Him in heaven. What else does He say here? And no more seas? Because there will be no more division. There will be no more fussing and fighting. There will be no more death to separate us. There will be nothing but God's love. Look in verse 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven. Or coming down from God out of heaven. Prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. The New Jerusalem. That's going to be beautiful to see. If you wanted to skip ahead, look down about verse 10 and it gives you all the dimensions. We'll get there eventually. But the New Jerusalem, there's always going to be a Jerusalem. Amen? There's always going to be a Jerusalem. Why? Because that's where God is going to rule and reign from. Then, I want you to see this in verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. I want you to know something. We sing a song about no more tears in heaven. And I've had people say, preacher, are there going to be tears in heaven? Most certainly there's going to be tears in heaven. Why? Because see, back in Revelation chapter 7, back in the midst of the tribulation period, what does the Lamb say He is going to do? In verse 17, it says, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them into living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. He's going to wipe away their tears because they're going to be crying. And then we see here in chapter 21 a final drying of the tears. You know why it's going to be final? Read the last phrase of that sentence, that verse. It says, for the former things are passed away. God's going to erase your memory. You're not going to remember those loved ones that you just got through witnessing thrown into hell. You're not going to remember that brother or that sister, that mother and that father, that grandpa and that grandmother. You're not going to remember those that rejected Christ as their Savior. Why? Because if you remember what's going to happen, it's going to bring tears to your eyes. And God says there's not going to be no more tears. He's going to end it. He's going to cease it to men. It's over with. It's done with. And then I want you to see something else. In heaven, it's going to be a new city. I tell you what, this is going to be a gorgeous city. And in verse 12, it says, a wall great and high and had 12 gates. I tell you what, this is one monster-sized city. Amen. And it's going to have a giant wall around it. And it's going to have 12 gates. Three on the north, three on the east, three on the west, three on the south. And then what else is it going to have? Are you with me, son? All right. The walls of the city had 12 foundations. And in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Each foundation to this city is going to be named after one of the 12 apostles. Wow. Brother Greg, I've been asked a question, and I don't have an answer. We discovered, we studied here in Acts here a while back where they picked Matthias for the 12th disciple. And the question I've always raised in my mind is, who's going to be the number 12th foundation? whose name God's going to put there? Would it be Judas, the betrayer, the devil from the beginning? I don't think so. Will it be Matthias, the one they voted on by a committee? I'm not sure. Or will it be Paul? Interesting. I can't wait to find out. I don't have the answer. Amen? I have my suspicion, but I can't wait to find out. And then something else. This city is going to lie four square. So, preacher, what does that mean? It's going to be a cube. It's going to be a square cube. It's going to be 12,000 furlongs. So, preacher, how far is 12,000 furlongs? Well, that would be like if you had a tip of it in Miami. Another tip would be close to San Diego. And up and over. And by the way, this is not just east and west. It's also high. It's one monstrous city. Amen? One big city. Then what else is it going to have? In this city, the building of the wall is going to be like jasper. So, preacher, what in the world is jasper? How many of you has got a diamond on your hand? Any of you? That's jasper. Amen? Diamond and jasper is the same thing. We call it diamonds today. But in other words, it's going to be clear. It's going to be white. It's going to be sparkly. It's going to be something that's very, very beautiful to look upon. Then what else is it? And the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. Now, one of the first things that people will ask is gold. If I can get it off. Got a little gold band right here. That's gold. Did you know gold is the only metal that we have on this earth that you can beat down so thin that you can see through it? And it still keep its formality? Did y'all realize that? Gold is a very soft metal. In fact, if you looked at my ring, you'll see how thin it's getting right here from being worn. Because it's real soft. It's the reason why when we make rings, we overlay gold on other metals. And we have like 10 carat and 14 carat. If you have 24 carat gold, it's very soft. It's very thin. Or it can be. You can make it very thin. And here we see here that the city was pure gold. Like unto clear glass. In other words, God's going to fix it where it's translucent. You can see through it. Amen. Then what else? Look in verse 21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. I tell you what, that's some big pearls. I don't want to see the oyster that laid them big things. Amen. But anyway, whoo, they have some big old pearls to be making a big old gate out of. But that's what God said. Now what else? the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Now, one thing that you might not caught in the study of, or in the reading of the word here this morning, I want you to look at the word in verse 21 and the word street. Is it singular or plural? Singular. A street. There's only going to be a street in the New Jerusalem. Nobody's going to live on Avenue B. Everybody's going to be living on Avenue A. Amen. Everybody's going to be living uptown. There's not going to be no back street, no side street, no alleys. They're going to be one street. Amen. It's a street in heaven. You say, well, preacher, that's just the kitchen of the word, and I don't agree with you. Well, that's fine. You can be fine. You're not disagreeing with me. That's fine. But one day, I'm going to have the last laugh. Amen. Because the Bible says it. Amen. I just believe what God's word says. Now, what else? Something else about this temple, about this New Jerusalem. It's not going to have a temple. You realize that? There's no temple like it was in Jerusalem for him to rule and reign in this heavenly city. Look in verse 22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. I missed verse 3 a while ago on purpose. Let's go back up and read it. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. The reason why there's not going to be a temple in the New Jerusalem is because Jesus is there. He is the temple. Amen. He is the tabernacle. He is the place to go and worship. He is the one to worship, and he will be worshiped mightily. Something else we're going to see in this new city of heaven, New Jerusalem, there's not going to be no sun and no moon. Look in verse 23. And the city had no need for the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God delight in it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nation of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth, shall bring their glory and honor unto it. What's it going to be? There's not going to be no need for the sun, no need for the moon. Why? Because there's not going to be any night there. Amen. There's not going to be any night. Why? Because Jesus is the light. Say, preacher, don't we need night? No, because your body's not going to get tired. Amen? You won't need to have a rest. I was talking to Brother David the other day at the hospital, Sister Ruby. I was up there visiting with him, and he told me, he said, you know, preacher, he said, I can walk across from here to, you know, just a little ways, and I'm just huffing and puffing. I think what he told me, he said, every time he pulls up out here in the parking lot and walks into the church, he said, I'm just like, I don't have no air. I can't breathe. And I said, brother, I know. This old body is wearing out. But in heaven, you won't have an old body. You're going to have a heavenly body. And it's not going to wear out. Amen? It's not going to need no rest. Why? Because it's a glorified body, just like Jesus has. Then, what else is it going to see? Besides no sun and no moon, the gates will never close. You realize that? The gates are always going to be wide open. You can come and go. There's not going to be no need to close the gate because there's no enemy without. You realize? No enemy without. Look in verse 25. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day. And then I jumped ahead of myself a while ago and said, no night. And it says, and for there shall be no night there. No night. Why? Because Jesus is the light. Amen. Jesus is the light. Chapter 22 in verse 1 gives us some more description of the New Jerusalem, of heaven. It says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. You know, I don't know about you. I've been places. I remember here last year, Alex and I, we went fishing off down in the Bahamas. And we was able to look down, and they were saying we was looking about 110, 120 feet down, and it was just like the bottom was just right there below the boat. And you could see the fish swimming through there. We could see a stingray come swimming through there. I mean, crystal clear. This is how the river of life is going to look. It's going to be crystal clear. You can see all the way to the bottom. And it's going to flow from the throne of God. It's going to flow right down through the middle of the city. I tell you. And look at something else. Verse 2. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. Can you imagine? Fruit. 12 different types of fruit on a tree. I mean, that'd be like going out here to a tree in your yard and picking a peach and a pear and an apple and a grapefruit all off the same tree. That's just unheard of, isn't it? But this tree is going to have 12 different types of fruit. 12 different types of fruit on it. I've often told people, I said, yes, you can find me down at the River of Life with my fishing pole sitting up, pulling down the fruit and eating it. Amen. Because I don't get to go fishing like I want to here on this old earth, but I'm going to make up for it. You say, preacher, God didn't say you're going to have fish in it. I don't care. I'm just going to be sitting down there eating. Amen. I'm going to be sitting down there enjoying myself. Why? Because it's heaven. It's heaven. Something else. Verse 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. I want to spend a little time here this morning. I don't have much time left, but I want to try to spend the rest of the time I've got on this verse, because it's so clear to illustrate what heaven's about. It says, and there shall be no more curse. To understand what the curse is, what is curse? What is the curse? Have you ever thought about it? What is the curse? It's sin. That's the curse. Turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. Let me give you I don't have time to read the whole chapter, but let me give you a few highlights here and point some things out to you about the curse that will make you very ecstatic about heaven. It does me anyway. Before we can compare it to heaven, though, we got to understand what the curse was. What was the Garden of Eden like before the curse? Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon the belly shall thou go, and dust shall thou eat all the days of thy life. The snake, Satan, was cursed. The snake was cursed because he let Satan influence. By the way, I want you to see something. Snake talked. Did you see that? He talked to Eve in the verses preceding this. The snake had a little conversation with Eve. Convinced Eve, hey, look, just eat of this tree. Everything's going to be fine. God don't want you to eat it because he knows you'll be like him. You'll be wise as he is. See, that's how Satan is to each of us. He comes and he tries to say, look, you know, I know the preacher says you shouldn't be doing this sin, but hey, it's fine. He just don't want you to have no fun. Oh, I know what the end result's going to be. Satan doesn't tell you that. But here, the snake was cursed to crawl on the ground the rest of his life. What else? Look at verse 16. And he said unto the woman, He said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And to Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days long of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herbs of the field. And in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto thy unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and art dust shall thou return. In other words, church, what God is telling them is this: because of the curse, because of sin, men, women, we're to work and sweat while doing so. We're to go out and till the ground. We're to labor hard. We're to work, because that's our penalty for sin. Heaven, there's not going to be work like this. Why? Because the sin, the curse has been lifted. Amen? The curse has been lifted. You're not going to have to go work. You know, can you imagine the weedless gardens? How many's had a garden? You know what I'm talking about? You have a garden. You spend all your time pulling weeds, do you not? You spend all your time. And man, my boys used to fuss. I used to make them come out there and help me pull weeds. I told them, I said, if you don't get the root, it's going to come right back. Sure enough, they'll break it off and it'll come right back the next day. Why? Because the curse of sin. The curse of sin. Heaven's going to be a place there's no more curse. There's not going to be no more sin. There's no more work. I like that word. Why? Because see, your work now, you know why your work's hard? Because it was the curse that God put upon man for his sin. What was Adam and Eve like? What was it like before? They was designated as, man is designated to them as the caretakers of the Garden of Eden. Now you understand, the Garden of Eden was a garden of fruit. It had no weeds in it. So they didn't have to go pull weeds. They walked around and said, man, that looked yummy. Let's try it. All right? And they go over here and see another tree. Oh, man, they look good. And they pick it and eat it. And they go around and they basically spent their days exploring the big, nice, luxurious garden that God had given them. But when what happened? Sin came in. Sin came in and destroyed the good thing that they had going. In fact, not only did it destroy the good thing, it expelled them from the garden. God no longer provided food for them on the trees. He said, you're going to have to go out here and work, till the garden, till the ground, plant the garden, let it grow, and hopefully you'll get something good to eat out of it. All because of the curse. You know, church, the curse of sin is broken in heaven. There's no more sin in heaven. There's not going to be any stickers in the grass. The roses will have no thorns. Amen. How many of you like to get a pretty nice rose and you see it and you reach out and you just barely touch it and you get stuck with a thorn? You know, they're sweet to smell, but you have to be careful picking it because you get stuck. Can you imagine roses without thorns? I got tickled. I read an article here a couple of years ago where scientists is trying to create a rose without thorn. And they can't do it. Why? Because of the curse. The curse. God's not going to allow it to happen because of the curse that God put upon man because of sin. There's not going to be no death. There's not going to be trouble or sorrow. There's not going to be no more sickness and no more pain. There's not going to be any more jobs. Not in heaven. Why? Because that's part of the curse. It's part of the curse. So, preacher, how's it like? Well, let me read you Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11 gives us a perfect example about what it's like to have the curse lifted off of us. Isaiah 11 verse 6 says, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid," which is a young goat, "and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together," or the fatling heifer, "and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the ass," which is a snake. "And the winged child shall play, shall put his hand on the cockatiel's den," which is another type of snake. What's God saying? What's Isaiah telling us? Heaven is not going to have the curse of sin. I don't know about you, but if you let your mind run away with it, you could get homesick real fast. I know I can. You know, when you go and you're out and mowing the yard, or you're out doing something in the heat and you're sweating and you're hot and you feel sick because of the heat, and some of you's had heat strokes like I've had, and you know that it's not good for you, you know one day that curse is all going to be lifted, and it's not going to be. It's not going to be. It's going to be heaven. Heaven. My question to you this morning, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you homesick for heaven? Are you? Are you ready for heaven? So many people today, "Well, preacher, I went down when I was a child and I shook the preacher's hand." That doesn't make you ready. Amen? See, salvation is a personal, one-on-one time with God. That's it. You know He's living there, and you can talk with Him. The Holy Spirit's dealing with you. Some of you this morning, the Holy Spirit's talking to you and says, "You're not going to heaven. You're not going to heaven. You don't know for sure you're going to heaven. You need to get saved." You know, it doesn't matter what somebody might have told you. All that matters is, do you know for sure yourself? Are you saved? Are you 100% sure? You say, "Preacher, I don't think you can know." Well, are you calling God a liar? Because that's what you're saying. See, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 says, "You can know where you're headed." This morning, I can tell you 100%. If the rapture was to happen right now, I know where I would be. I know, I know, I know. There's no doubt about it. The old song says, "He's real in my heart, and I'm going to shout it." Amen. I know, my sins are forgiven, and I'm on my way to a place that's called heaven. Do you know? Do you know? That's what it means. Do you know where you're headed? You know, heaven, you can look it up on the internet and you can find all kinds of artist renditions, but they cannot touch the glory of what heaven's going to be like. Heaven's a beautiful place. Heaven's a place that I long for. Heaven is where I'm going. Are you? With every head bowed and every eye closed,